So we did Titus 2 this time because the ladies who were in charge thought that would be a good way for us to start off. And so what is spiritual mothering is kind of what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to start off with a little story. I've already shared this with a few of you, but this is such a fun story or a helpful story to get us thinking about kind of a vision for spiritual mothering. And we'll get more into the definition of that and everything, but let's just start off with a little story. One thing that I notice when I look back at my childhood is that I didn't understand how bad it was all the time. I accepted my lot in life as one who had never known anything different. I thought that all mommies loved their children when they were good and hated them when they had not lived up to expectations. I thought that all daughters were afraid of their mothers and worked very hard so that mother would have no cause for angry words. I thought that all mothers occasionally yelled, cursed, and slapped you in the face. Now, when I read these things I've written here, I'm shocked. Then it was normal. Now that you have read these things, you probably don't like my mom very much. She's not easy to like. Can we really blame her, though? She has only acted out what she was taught. Remember, she is her mother's child. Maybe if someone, just one person, had taken the time to explain to mother that God's acceptance and love are not based on performance, could one person making the sacrifice to get involved in the life of that young girl who was my mother have made a difference? I think so. One woman made a difference for me. She is not someone I would want to pattern my entire life after. We are now at very different places theologically, but she was willing to give of herself, to get involved, to show me that the way of life that I accepted as normal was not all there was. My gracious God used that woman to show me himself and to change the course of my life for eternity. Since that time, God has used many godly women and a few men to teach me more of his ways. Each one has had different things to offer. All have offered that rare jewel, unconditional love. I am reminded to be thankful that the chain is broken. The chain of bondage that ties my mother to bitterness and rage and fear is broken in me. My children, because of my past, will see glimpses of the chain, but they will not have to bear its weight. Because of the willingness of one woman to give of herself, my grandchildren will not have the sins of some long past ancestor to shed. Instead, God willing, they will have two generations of prayers to guide them. The effects of spiritual mothering are not for one person alone or even for one generation. They are for eternity. And this woman, for obvious reasons, withheld her name from the story. But it's such a great story for us to think about the long-term ripple effects of when we practice spiritual mothering. So, what is the ultimate goal of women's ministry? I don't know if everybody has a sheet, but I opened it up with Psalm 86, 12 through 13. I will give thanks to you with my whole heart. I will glorify your name forever. So what is the ultimate goal of women's ministry based on that psalm? Y'all can answer.
To glorify God.
Amen. So let's start off with who we are as women, and then we'll get into the definition of spiritual mothering. So in Ephesians 1:4, it tells us that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In Genesis 1:27, it tells us that God created us in his own image. But then what came in? You can see it. Sin. So in Genesis 3:15, God made a promise that he would fix that sin. He promises that the offspring of the woman will defeat Satan. So right there in Genesis 3:15, God has promised that he's going to fix that. In Genesis 3:20, Adam gave his wife a name. What did he name her? Eve, which means giver of life. And all of us are daughters of Eve. All of us carry that name, givers of life. And so as we think about spiritual mothering, I think it's really important for us to always start with the question, am I approaching this in a way where I am giving life? Or where I'm being a life taker? So I think it's a great question for us to start with. So what in the world is spiritual mothering? Some of us may have heard that term before. Some of us may have never heard that term before, spiritual mothering. Basically, what spiritual mothering is something like mentoring or discipleship or older women pouring into younger women. Titus 2, the name of this little thing this summer has been Titus 2, and that's because that's a passage this is often taken from. But this is really a biblical principle we see all the way through the Bible. Hebrews 10 tells us that we are to encourage, we are to spur one another on to good deeds. And so this is a principle we see all the way through, but we often go back to Titus 2 because it's one where it particularly applies it to women. And women, ministering to women, can minister in a unique way that sometimes a man is not going to be able to encourage or minister to a woman. We're unique. We're not the same. So Titus is a great passage to help us think about that. You guys can look at that later. We are going to try to keep moving because we want to have lots of time for Q&A for you guys. So there's a woman, her name was Susan Hunt. She's a pastor's wife, and she really got to thinking about this Titus 2 ministry in her church, about women mentoring and pouring into and discipling women. So she got very passionate about it, and she wanted to just, like, get these women hooked up with one another. So I'm going to connect you and you and you and you and you and you. But then she just backed up, and she really started thinking about it. And she has spent the last, 40 years, I would bet, developing this ministry. So she has a definition she's come up with, and she's put a lot of time into it. So when a woman possessing faith and spiritual maturity enters into a nurturing relationship with a younger woman in order to encourage and equip her to live for God's glory. So spiritual mothering is a kind of discipleship or mentoring, but it's one that's particularly to God's glory. It's also one that doesn't have to have a certain age woman. So when she says a woman possessing faith and spiritual maturity, so that doesn't mean that you have to have a certain age woman. Like, many of us possess faith and spiritual maturity. So what would this look like? It could look like having coffee with some younger women. It could look like an older Christian businesswoman who is pouring into and mentoring a younger Christian businesswoman in a God-glorifying way in her business. It could look like a youth volunteer who shares biblical truth with a teenager. It could look like all different ways. One thing I think we have to really keep in mind with the term spiritual mothering is all of us can be mothers to one another. You don't have to be a biological mother. We don't have to have had children. Single women are uniquely gifted to be spiritual mothers. When a woman possessing faith and spiritual maturity. So what's an obvious question that's going to pop into our heads? Wait a minute. I don't possess spiritual maturity. Don't we all kind of want to say that when we read that? Wait, no, that's not me. I don't possess spiritual maturity. And so this call can't possibly be for me. So in Genesis, Cain asked God, am I my brother's keeper? And all through the rest of Scripture, God's telling us, yes, you are your brother's keeper. We do have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters. Jesus tells us in the Great Commission to go and make disciples. So if you are a disciple of Jesus, if you have followed him, you have that call to go and make disciples, and you have that call to grow up in spiritual maturity from Hebrews. And so we are all called to be growing up in our faith. And being spiritually mature is not a destination. It's not like, well, you get to this certain level and you're spiritually mature. It just means that you've had someone who's poured wisdom and love into you, and that you want to pour that back out onto the people around you. You don't have to be the Yoda of spiritual maturity. So, what about at Redeemer? We've talked a little bit about what spiritual mothering is. What does that look like at Redeemer? So, we have always had a lot of spiritual mothers at Redeemer. We have a lot of very godly women who have poured their lives into the women. But as Redeemer has grown, we've seen a need that we're going to have to be more intentional about it. You know, when we were 50 people or 100 people or 150 people, you know, it happened pretty naturally and pretty organically, and that was a lovely thing and a beautiful thing. But at this stage, we're going to have to look for venues that help aid this. So that's what we've been talking about. We have not seen a lot of success in churches that are like, we're going to just start pairing everybody up into a spiritual buddy system. So the way that we are going to start this is Ground Zero is going to be our women's Bible studies. As we're already together studying the Word, it gives a very natural venue for women to be pouring scripture into other women, and for that to be the runway for these mentoring and encouraging relationships to take off. So that's going to be the first place that we're going to be implementing these. So our Bible study is going to have small groups with two spiritual mothers in each small group who will be checking in and loving on these women, discipling them in the Word, helping equip them to handle the Word on their own. Out of these, we're going to have some brown bag lunches, some brown bag dinners, and we'll also have some more pop-up events. And we look forward to the possibility of this developing into more and more things. But this is where we're starting right now. We also want to be providing trainings on this topic for you guys. If you're interested in learning more about spiritual mothering, we would love to be giving you resources. So we're hoping to bring in some training. We're looking at the calendar to try to figure out to figure out how and when we're going to do it. But you guys can pray for the calendar that we would find places to put this in.
Pray for the calendar more than the budget.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. 100%. Pray for us as we look at the calendar that God would provide the places for this, because we'd love to bring in some outside resources. There are some people who've really thought a lot about great ways to do this, and we would love to tap into those resources and use those resources. We have started slowly doing some emails with some of our elders' wives, some of our former Bible study leaders, present Bible study leaders. So if you would like to get a little email, this will be, we haven't set the exact time, but we'll have a short time. We'll be sending out weekly emails, and it may just have a paragraph in it for something for us to meditate on about spiritual mothering and encouraging one another. It may just have a couple of scripture verses. But if you'd like to receive those emails, I have a sheet here, and you can sign up to get those emails. And that can be something that also helps us further our dialogue in thinking about spiritual mothering in our church. Then I would encourage you to pray about your role in spiritual mothering. What is God calling you to? Is there an older woman that you want to learn from? It is fine for a younger woman to reach out to an older woman. I think we often think the older woman has to be the initiator, but they're really feeling just as insecure, just as what do I do, just as deer in the headlights as the younger woman is. So, call an older lady and say, hey, would you like to go to coffee? Would you like to go walk on the Salado Creek Trail? Would you like to go kayak down the San Antonio River? I don't know. You would have to think maybe it would be an older woman who wanted to kayak. But anyway, there's all kinds of venues of things. I think Caroline would go.
Sewing's a terrible idea.
Yeah, sewing. Absolutely. I was like, okay.
If anyone wants to call Tara,
I should go kayaking down the San Antonio River. I would totally go with you. Yeah, I totally want to do that. I really want to go kayak at Spring Lake. Anyway, moving on. Think about, and also you can gather up little groups to go do things. And that's a great place for these. These relationships are biblical, encouraging relationships. So they happen in life on life. They happen in intentional times when you're getting together to maybe talk about a Bible verse. These things all come together. They can't be separated out, segmented. We talk about these things as we walk along, as we go along, as we sit down, as we lie down all day long. And then pray if God would put a younger woman on your heart and you would have a heart to reach out to a younger woman. And don't be overly ambitious. Don't think it has to look like I have to meet with this woman forever or I have to meet with her once a week or... it's okay for it to be something very simple, very light. Don't put expectations on yourself that make it impossible to do. Does that make sense? So what are some things we should pursue and some things we should watch out for as we think about spiritual mothering? So this I borrowed heavily from Christy Annabweil. This is called Word-Filled Women's Ministry. This is an excellent book. It's put together by the Gospel Coalition. And each chapter is written by a different woman who has done fairly amazing things in the power of the Lord in women's ministry. A couple of these are pastors' wives in the Middle East who have Bible studies with every imaginable religion in their Bible, former religion, they're Christians now, in their Bible study. This is a very wide range of wisdom. So Christy Annabelle actually writes to Susan Hunt, who read this book, Spiritual Mothering, and they do a dialogue back and forth as younger and older women. And Christy Annabelle had asked an older woman to mentor her when she was a young, I think a young pastor's wife. And she had just worked up all of her nerve, and they sit down to lunch, to breakfast, and she's so scared, and she's like perusing the menu even though she knows exactly what she wants to order because she's trying to get her guts up. And she asks Miss Gracie if she will mentor her, and Miss Gracie says, "Oh, honey, I just don't think I have time to do that right now." And Christy Annabelle is like, "Oh, okay, okay." And she's like whiffing her food down and getting out of there, and she gets in the car, and she just dissolves in tears because she's like embarrassed. She feels terrible. And she resolves that she will never turn down a woman who asks her to spiritually mother her, even if it's, you know, even if she can only do it for like two meetings or whatever it's going to look like. But so years and years later, she sees Miss Gracie, and Miss Gracie says, "Christy, do you remember that time you asked me to mentor you?" And Christy says, "Oh, yeah." And she says, "Honey, I'm so sorry. It wasn't really that I didn't have time. I just didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to do it. And so I just said no because I was scared." So anyway, as we're starting to talk about spiritual mothering, I really want everybody to have very low expectations on yourselves, all of us. You know, it's not going to be any kind of like perfect, like, once again, spiritual Yoda. It's going to be beggars showing other beggars where to find the bread of life. That's what we have. We are going to let each other down. We're going to disappoint each other. As we reach out to people, there are going to be people who are really hard. But God is so much bigger and so adequate for that. And it is so clearly our call to be in these kind of relationships. I borrowed this from Christy Annabelle. I paraphrase it from her. "So we may want older women to be our resident theologian or our Bible dictionary. Pointing you to Scripture is great, but older women can also help us see that we need to seek God for ourselves and pass on to us tools to help us dig into God's Word on our own." So do you see the difference there between being the answer box and the Google woman and the "I'm going to pass these tools on to you"? We may want older women to be our counselor or our Holy Spirit. Older women can share biblical wisdom, but they can also help us learn to rely on the Holy Spirit and on God's Word for direction, and to seek God's face in prayer when we have problems instead of going immediately to another person. We may want an older woman to point to a scripture passage and tell us how to live, but we may need that woman to point us to the bigger context of scripture, God's redemptive plan and God's glory. So once again, it's important for us to remember we are not the bread of life. We are only beggars who show other beggars where to find that bread of life. So as we wind up this brief introduction to spiritual mothering, I take us back to that first question. The first question we need to ask, because the first thing that comes in my heart when I think of a spiritual mother is, I want, I want, I want. And I do want all of us to have spiritual mothers. But I think it's so important to keep that question before our faces. Am I being a life giver, or am I approaching this as a life taker? Because even as a younger woman who is asking an older woman to spiritually mother you, your heart still needs to be at that place of being a life giver. And older women who mentor younger women are always going to receive so much in those relationships. So to wind up, I would like us to go back. We began with God's glory. That is the ultimate goal of our women's ministry. And another angle of that is thinking about the day of the Lord, the day when Jesus returns. That is a day that fills us with, we sing hymns in church, and we feel the joy of thinking about the streaming hosts glorifying God. It's a day when burdens will be lifted. It's a day of thanksgiving, honor, relationship, grace, love, building, dancing, enjoyment, gladness, salvation, redemption, refreshment, rejoicing, joy, comfort, abundance, satisfaction, intimacy, forgiveness, and reward. I mean, that fills us with joy. However, we must remember the Bible also tells us it is a day of humiliation and destruction and cruelty and doom and darkness and retribution, distress, anguish, ruin, devastation, fire, and more. So I got to admit, like, when I'm in Zephaniah, I jump right over Zephaniah 1:15 so I can get to some of my favorite memory verses. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgment against you. I love that verse. I skip right over those other verses that I don't love so much. But I think it's really important for us to remember that those verses are there too. And as we do women's ministry, as we think about spiritual mothering, are we approaching it in light of these verses? We are the ones who have had our judgment taken away and know how to tell other people how to do that, how to live in that. So Nancy Guthrie, who's a women's Bible study teacher, says, it's because this day is surely coming, that ministry among women today really matters. In fact, ministry among women will matter forever because women are facing forever. So as we think about spiritual mothering, let's start with thinking in light of eternity, God's glory and eternity.